Please forgive me because my eyes are getting a bit dim at the moment with cataracts, and I find a job for reading, so that's why I've got to have a light on. I'm going to drop this further down my chest. Can't read with those. Makes it worse. Okay. Now, the reading this morning is from 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 to 18, and I shall be reading it from the NIV version. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went on a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread, baked over hot coals, and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he travelled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" he replied. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as a prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the word of Ahaziel, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and whose mouths have not kissed him." Let's pray. Oh Lord, we pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you open your word to us, Lord, that we can understand and be led by it. In Jesus' name, amen. When Rose leads the first part of the service, there's no need for me, but she gives a sermon for me. So all I'm doing is going to repeat the first part, I'm afraid, just a little bit. There is a bit of background to this, isn't it? During the 9th century BC, Elijah the prophet was instrumental in being God's messenger. He was a worker of miracles and a general pain in the neck to King Ahab, king of Israel, and his wife Jezebel. Jezebel was a princess from Phoenicia, had brought many idols, priests, and prophets who worshipped the god Baal into Israel. And of course, King Ahab, who was already worshipping Baal, is very happy about that. Ahab was one of the many kings who worshipped foreign gods rather than the one true God. Elijah warned Ahab that the Lord God would bring a famine upon the land because of his idolatry. This happened and much suffering was experienced, but God looked after Elijah and his fellow prophets. Ahab was determined to wipe them all out, but didn't succeed. A prophet called Obadiah hid and fed 100 of God's prophets in two groups of 50 in caves when Jezebel was trying to kill them all. Obadiah, under protest, went to Ahab to tell him that Elijah was going to present himself that day. As we saw a few weeks ago, Elijah told Ahab to bring 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah to Mount Carmel, where Elijah proved the power of the one true God and set all the prophets to the sword. Then we start the new bit. Now Jezebel was very upset that Elijah had killed off all her prophets. So she set out to wipe him out. Elijah, being afraid, ran away. He left his servant behind and ran into the desert where he prayed may have died. Now we know from what we've just seen, an angel of the Lord came to Elijah twice, fed and watered him, and then sent him on his way to go south, to go to Mount Horeb, which is a large mountain in the middle of the desert, actually. It's in Judah, if you know Israel at all, where it is today. It's going towards the southern side, the southern end, and it's very desert there. And Elijah spent a night in the cave where God spoke to him. Now, something perhaps we can't understand. Elijah was complaining that he was the only prophet left. But he wasn't, was he? Because Obadiah had saved 100 prophets. So Elijah wasn't on his own. Where he was on his own. But God's word was still going to be spread because of the prophets who were still left. So God told him to go out onto the mountain and meet with him. Now that's something quite special when you meet with God. I think I've got my pages out of order. Now God actually spoke to Elijah, not in the loud ways when he made the earthquake, the wind and the fire. He actually spoke to him in a small, still voice. But Elijah was still complaining to God. He was afraid. He'd lost his strength. He was getting old. And as we know from the scriptures, he was told various things and he was told to appoint his successor, which he worked with for quite a few years. When we look back through the Bible, there were several other instances where prophets asked God they wanted to die. Moses, in Numbers 11, asked God, he'd had enough, he wanted to die. Jeremiah, though not asking God to let him die, was forever complaining, wasn't he? The complaining prophet, the whole time he was moaning. Jonah, another complaining prophet, was told to Nineveh. He was afraid. He ran away. And God put him in the depths of a fish, punished him. And when he released him, Jonah did God's command. Job, who wasn't actually a prophet, but a godly man, asked God for death rather than the suffering he was experiencing. But Job still stayed faithful to God, and God blessed him. God looked after his prophets, like Daniel, who was saved from the den of lions. Nehemiah, who, through the strength of the Lord, rebuilt the city of Jerusalem, even though at several times armies came against him. But he has still had the strength of the Lord to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. There were so many instances in the Old Testament where the strength of God, through his prophets, The prophets being weak, the strength of God still came through. Can you imagine it? Even today, one of us, let's get up. God spoke to you. Go and speak to the Queen of England. Tell her this is a godless country and I'm going to do something about it. Can you just imagine that? Go and see the Queen of England. Go and tell her what I've just said. How would you feel about that? Well, God did it many times, didn't he? Would we have the confidence to do that? We probably wouldn't get past the gate these days, but... We do move into the New Testament because this is very apt to us today. Let's look at the apostles. They were frightened of dying. People were against them the whole time. But they stayed firm in their belief, doesn't matter how difficult the situation was. Elijah had a job, didn't he? Just to keep his belief. He was of the opinion God wasn't looking after him properly. But God was. But he wasn't killed. The power of the Holy Spirit strengthened the apostles through the time of the early church where things were very, very difficult. We move on to the Apostle Paul. He was a prophet. A prophet is a man of God who proclaims God's message, what God has given him. So the Apostle Paul was a prophet. He survived many attempts on his life. He had to run at times outside city walls. And surprising enough, he left some of his followers and assistants behind. We actually came across that in the Bible study on Wednesday, that Paul left a city and left two of his assistants behind. Now God was faithful and kept them safe. So we don't really understand why Paul left. But he had human weakness. Jesus was human and God. And at the in the last days, even Jesus prayed, "Lord, if this cup can be taken away from me, please do so." Jesus knew it wouldn't be. But the weakness of man made him actually say that. When he was on the cross, it was so terrible for him where he called upon the Father. He knew the Father at that time had deserted him. Because Jesus was carrying all the dirty sin of mankind on him. And God can't look at sin. So Jesus was on his own. What a terrible thing. But he came back. He brought everything back to us, didn't he? By his resurrection, we are saved. Now how does this all relate to us? God spoke to Elijah in a whisper, giving him directions. Now things do go wrong in our lives. Every one of us have had something go wrong in our lives. Things get difficult at times. We are ill or different things. How many of us have complained to God about our situations? I have. I'm sure we all have. We complain to God. Now, we can have confidence because the prophets complained to God, didn't they? They got fearful. They got worried. But God didn't just tell them off. He loved them and strengthened them. Elijah, the angel came to him and gave him some food and water strengthen him to go into the desert to actually meet with God. Do we lay our problems before the Lord? This is a difficult thing, isn't it? To let them go. We have problems. It's our problems, not yours, God. It's our problems. I'm going to hang on to them. If we can let them go, give them to the living Lord, the living Lord will give us food and water to have the strength to actually go through our problems. Do we listen for the small, still voice of God, or will it encourage and protect us? He does speak to us. I knew a pastor a few years ago of a church, and they used to have a prayer time. It was quite a lively church. Used to have a prayer time during the middle. And off goes the pastor with all these long, loud prayers. Non-stop for ages. Nobody else got a look in. And off he went. And then he'd do something else. Now I think God spoke to me in a still voice, because I sat him down one day. And I said to him, "What is prayer?" "Oh, talking to God." I said, "What about God replying?" Prayer is a two-way conversation, isn't it? God speaks to us. So we have to give him time to speak to us. If we're praying about something, perhaps, especially we're sitting down, perhaps quiet at home, and praying about something desperately, and we don't know how to handle it, just sit quiet and let the small still voice of God speak to you. Let him encourage you. It's having confidence in being, knowing a God is there. The early church had that confidence. We haven't got the problems the early church had. If we were sitting here 2,000 years ago, we don't know who's going to break in that door with swords in their hands to kill us or march us off to jail. Here we are safe. But the early church was faithful, even to death. They were prepared to be put to death, weren't they? As Christians, we've asked Jesus into our lives. And what's the next thing we do? We push him away. We don't want him too close. Are we going to allow God to strengthen us? God will protect and keep us. I've got personal experience, I'm sorry if I keep saying this, of God's protection and love. It wasn't very long ago, I was only given 25% chance of surviving cancer. The Lord brought me through it. I then had two kidney operations that went badly wrong. One of them, I honestly thought I was going to die afterwards. The Lord brought me through it. And I can honestly say, for once in my life, I had the confidence. I knew if I died, I was safe. If I was alive, I was safe. For once in my life, which doesn't happen in my life very often, I had confidence in God. I knew he was looking after me, even though it was so horrible what I was going through. I thought I was going to die and was prepared and confident that my Lord, the living Christ, had a new life for me in his kingdom. But miracles were worked in my life. That's why I'm standing here. I can jump about. Not perhaps as well as I used to, because I'm getting that little bit older as well. But I'm really grateful to God because he loves me. He loves you. He loves you. Every single one of us. He loves us. Doesn't matter what the problems were, he would take them from us. to himself. And then he gives us the strength to be able to face them. The problems don't always go away. The difference is having the confidence and knowing God is in the background and he loves us and he's going to help us through those problems. I'm asking, as I finish today, please, please, please allow him to be in your lives, our lives, protecting, loving, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us, giving us confidence, because the Holy Spirit has been sent by our Lord Jesus Christ for each and every one of us. His arms are open for us. I know the Lord took me in his arms. He will take each and every one of us in his arms for our problems. He loves us. Let's love him and have confidence in him. I think that's very special. Let's pray. Lord Father God, we just praise and thank you. We thank you for the witness of your prophets, knowing that they were weak because they were human. We are weak because we are human. It is difficult at times to accept when things go wrong that you can help us and you are there. And we ask now, Lord, as we pray right this minute, that each and every one of us will have that confidence in you. That confidence that you're in our lives. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our Saviour. Jesus has done something very special for each one of us. We thank you, Lord, in his holy name. Amen.